Welcome back. It's just me and Brandon. It's going to be a shorter episode today. Just because the other two are... I don't know what's going on with Keelan, but I know Alex is working.
Yeah.
In fairness, Keelan has been there for the last 2 weeks of recording. What would be a Saturday?
You can't be there all the time. Yeah, you can't be there all the time.
Exactly. So, we might record an episode with Alex there. Don't know if Alex would be in the mood for it. And don't know what you're doing there, so.
I'll probably be away later on. I'm going to probably go play Magic less.
Right, fair enough, so we will not be
again.
Recording. Maybe I'll record an episode with Alex. Just one-on-ones. Maybe I'll do one-on-one episodes with people.
Yeah?
Little interviews. Checking on life. See how people are doing.
Okay, I'm first up, so I can't. I've got no contact. God damn it.
Yeah, you got nothing on it. Everybody's gonna have high standards from this one session.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna really pit the bar up there, real, real high.
we will see. We will see.
Yeah, that bar ain't going that high, is it? It's going somewhere, but.
It's going somewhere, yeah. It's going somewhere. So, what have you been up to? What's going on in your life, Brandon?
I mean, last night I had my first ever Magic the Gathering pre-release. So, it's pretty much a store opens up. They usually sign on to get certified by Wizards of the Coast, the people that make Magic the Gathering. They're owned by Hasbro. But never mind that there. So pretty much they sign up, and if they get the status of being Wizards of the Coast certified, they can release their products like a week early or so. So they have a pre-release set. It's kind of the same where, like, people might understand better. It's like when you get a game on Xbox or some PlayStation or PC, you pre-order it, and you might get the game a few days earlier than everybody else that didn't pre-order it. Same as that. But, yeah, so you get the pre-release, and they're giving a little... You go to the night, costs £20, £25, something about there. And you're given the box, the pre-release box. And in that box, you get, I think it was six packs, five or six packs, the standard packs you get. Right now, they're moved. They used to have draft set boosters and set boosters. They've now moved back to the old format they used to have years ago called the play boosters, which is pretty much they just got the draft and the set booster and just smushed them together. Okay. That's your play booster. So you get five or six of those packs in which you make a 40-card deck. You can use whatever cards you really want from that. Use none of them if you don't want. Well, you have to use some of them, obviously, but use as little or much as you want of them.
Okay.
And goal is to try beat everyone else, pretty much, and try to get the prize. In that box as well, they also have a pre-release stuff cards. So only cards that can be obtained from the pre-release. So you, of course, you can obtain them on like the third market and whatnot, blah blah blah, because you know that's the thing. But what's it saying? You can get in the market and car market and whatnot like that there, but pretty much to give you some cards, they're typically not worth a whole lot. I mean, they're worth €3 or €4, but they're actually pretty good cards. Like, I know I've been planning to build a deck around one of them for the last couple of months after I've seen its release. It's a wolf. He just makes loads of wolves and loads of elves, which is really cool, which I build elves, so I was like, oh, build a deck around that, that'd be awesome. It's also one of my main color typos right now, so which is another thing is like green, white, red. I've trying to build something other than green, white, because I have a lot of green, white decks or green, white, red. Starting to dabble. So there's Forgotten Color. There's actually five colors in Magic. There's blue, white, red, black, which they're not called blue, white, red, black. It's swamps, mountains, islands, plains, and forests.
Okay.
Your five color typos. But yeah, you build your deck from 40 cards. You can use more than 40. I kind of went funny
Right.
Typically, you want to have your deck two colors, three at the most, because you don't really want to have a lot of colors in that 40 card deck, because the more colors you have, the more likely you're mo going to get mana fucked, which is, or mana flooded, or fucked over by mana. You don't get the colors you need, because you need certain colors to cast certain things,
Okay.
depending on what it says in the card. So, I went with black white, which is called Orzhov, which is, that's what they basically, they just pretty made up names off the first cards they were released off the color typing, so people just kind of stuck with that. So the first deck I had was black white, which is Orzhov. It did pretty well. I won two of my games and lost one of
Okay.
them. The first guy I went against, he kind of won the fucking competition, the only guy I lost against. He came first. His deck was absolutely disgusting. He went like three or four colors. I mean, technically speaking, I went three or four colors because you have the thing called sideboard, so in between rounds and whatnot, if you want to switch something out in your deck to maybe counter someone else's stuff, that if your deck doesn't do as well and you got something that might do better, you can swap it out. But I kind of went funny and I built two decks. You can literally sideboard an entire different deck. If you have 40 other cards, you can literally just straight over sideboard another entire deck. So I did that. So I had a black white deck and a blue green deck.
All right, okay.
Which is weird. Because, like, no one expects it. Because, like, usually people try to stick to that. You have to have a minimum of 40. You can have, like, 80 cards if you really wanna. Like, well, I
Yeah.
technically had 80 cards because I had two things of 40. But typically people go for 40 cards. So people are like, oh, what are you doing? Like, sideboard an entire different. Like, can you do that? But
Yeah.
lucky enough, one of my friends is actually a judge and he can, like.
You're using him to back up you're missing the humors here. Well,
Sorry?
not you're missing the humors, but your great work that you're doing.
Yeah, but he was like, "Oh yeah, it's illegal to substitute any other card you want in between rounds." So the first game I substituted my green blue deck, it wasn't as good after I played it, so I didn't play it for the rest of the night. I just kind of brought it with me. He's like, "These are my sideboard if I need it," but I didn't bother use them. But no, I lost my first game. The guy I played against was very good. He had a red, white, green, black deck. He went for four colors, I think it was. I think it was four. No, it might have been three colors. It might be white, green. Yeah, white, green, red he went with. So that's Naya, I believe they call it. So he went three colors. And then the two other opponents I went against, well, the first guy, the second opponent I went against was, he was black, white, like myself. He had a lot of removal cards, so pretty much stuff to just kill my stuff. But lucky enough, I had a little bit of recursion in my deck, so I could bring stuff back after it got destroyed. Which, it's always fun when you're playing against recursion. I know in the past, it's not as popular in my local LGS now for people to play recursion, but I know when I started playing, there was a few people playing recursion, and I was like, I need to have something in my deck to exile people's graveyard so they can't bring shit back from their graveyard. Stop that there happening. But one of my favorite combos, I can't remember the cards recall now, but pretty much it's in, one of the cards was an enchantment where it comes on the battlefield, I give a target creature minus four to enter, which typically kills something, which is great. But its second abilities will really, really help me out. And it's whenever a card would leave your graveyard, target opponents lose one life and you gain one life. So I had another card where it was two black, in which I exiled X amount of card. I had to exile up to six mana value. Mana
Okay.
value is pretty much how much a card costs to cast. So I exile up to six mana value or higher. And I can return something from, or no, I destroy that it makes opponents to sacrifice their largest creature. So what I
Okay.
used to do is let my shit die, go into my graveyard, exile my graveyard, and make them lose life from the enchantment. Because if you exile stuff from your graveyard, it counts as something being removed from your graveyard. So usually you can recur stuff from your graveyard, or you can exile it. Either one works as it's leaving your graveyard. So it was one of those combinations. People are like, "Oh wait, what the fuck's happening? Hold on." Because I didn't. I asked my friend who was the judge at the time. He's like, "The guy, I didn't know myself. I'm pretty new to Magic. I've been playing for nearly a year now. I guess, yeah, nearly a year
Yeah,
now."
it'd be about a year, I think, yeah.
So I was just asking him, like, "Oh, does exiling still count as something leaving the graveyard?" And he's like, "Yeah. As long as something's leaving your graveyard, whether it's exiling or being, put in your hand or on the battlefield, it counts as leaving the graveyard." So, yeah, the second opponent I went against, had I known this in the first game, I might have done better, but I didn't know this. But the second opponent, he was like, "Well, I'm dead." Because he kept putting stuff in my graveyard. I was like, "Oh, well, shit's dying." I was like, "I may as well try and do this." Because I thought that worked myself, but wasn't sure. Hence why I asked my friend, who's the judge, to clarify for myself, for my own sake.
Yeah.
But and then the third opponent I went against was a lovely fella. He used to play years ago, but it's a not as a big problem in Magic, but pub stompers. So people come in with their really high powered decks that shouldn't be playing against certain, like, decks are set for power levels. Like, you've got, like, really, really power, like, I think it's working from 1 to 10 power ratings. I think it's like 1 to 4, I believe, is pre-con levels and casual decks. You play against people for chill. No big massive win combinations. No infinite combinations. Stupid stuff that just really broken. But
Yeah.
then 5 to 6 is like, five, I think it's 5 to 6 or 5 to 7 is medium level decks. No, 5 to 6 is like medium power decks. So pretty high power deck. Not pretty high power, but pretty middle power decks, as terms of, like, it can do a lot of stuff, but it's not going to be completely broken whatsoever.
Yeah.
And then you go to, like, I think it's 7 and 8 are high power decks where it's nearly competitive, but not competitive. And then 9 and 10 is competitive level, where it's like win nothing's but win combinations, infinite combos, turn 1, turn 3, turn 2, wins all the time.
Yeah.
Stupid shit like out there. Like, I've got one deck, my mono green elf deck. It's not a meta CDH deck whatsoever. I don't give a fuck about, like, being a meta, whatever, blah blah blah. But it's probably at a power level 8 or 7, I'd say, based
Okay.
on the fact I can win around turn 4. If I that deck does well by turn 4, I can typically play everything I need to win the game. It might be too slow to play for competitive. It also it's because it's mono green, it's also the weakest color technically speaking.
Yeah.
But I don't care about that. Like, my friends play black blue. Those are probably the two most powerful colors. Blue's probably the most black and blue. I think black and blue are the most powerful two colors, and then red, then white, then green. But I love green. I'm a pretty green player. I've started in blue black, but anyway, go back to green. Green doesn't have a lot of interaction and control and stuff like that there, where things like blue and black and red and white, they can just pretty much manipulate shit and do what they want. And,
Yeah.
like, fuck other people over. Green doesn't do that. Green's just like, "All right, I'm gonna play this. I'm gonna make a shit ton of mana, and then I'm gonna play a shit ton of cards."
Fair.
It's very simple, very straightforward, very easy to learn. Whereas something like black and white or blue, something out there's a lot of combinations and stuff. It's like, I can't be asked learning all these combination stuff. I mean, I have black decks and I have other stuff, but I typically, I think black green currently is my two most played colors.
See, you've been trying to get me and Alex to join you in this endeavor
I have
for
a while. No, not a while, but like a month or two.
At least probably. 6 months, I'd say. Is it at least 6 months?
6 months. It's not been that long.
I'm pretty sure.
Maybe it has. My bad.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, because it'd be when we started playing Apex again for like the first time in forever.
Back
in September. And
maybe 6 months.
You guys should play Magic. You guys should come join me. And neither of us did. Like, straight up. neither Alex nor myself went and joined you on it.
Yeah. I mean, I'll not deny, when I start playing Magic originally, that game is so fucking confusing when you start playing it. You know, it sounds really confusing to you right now, because you don't play it. I don't think it's not confusing, because I know myself, at the start, when I start playing Magic for the first month or 2 months, that shit fucking confused absolute living daylights out of me. I had no idea what shit happening half the time. The more you play the game, it's definitely a learning experience as you progress. Like, the more you play the game, the more you're like, you're thinking to yourself, oh shit, what's he got over there? Why is he not doing anything over there? What's he up to over there? you'll start to pick out little, like, nodes and stuff. It's like, like, this perfect example last day, right? This was 2 weeks ago when we were first up with that LGS. We're playing Commander night. Friend and Commander. Love that. One guy's playing Grip Hug. Green and red Grip Hug with monkeys. Fucking absolutely funky little deck. He made his shit really big, really quick, and that was a real problem for everybody else. As Grip Hugs are. For a definition for Grip Hug, so Grip Hug is pretty much a deck based on giving other people shit. And then just making your shit massive, or taking it all back and fucking them over.
Okay, fair.
It's a very... If you don't know what Grip Hug is, like, I played a Grip Hug deck beforehand, like, when I started playing originally, I guess some guy's playing a hippo.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't aware what a Grip Hug deck is at that stage. And I was like, oh, this deck's fucking cool to play against. I'm like, this guy's just giving me free shit. I did not think of anything. I was lucky. One of the guys I was playing, a friend of mine, also the fella taught me how to play. He was just like, you need to die. Because he realized, he was like, you're doing too much stuff over there, and you're not showing what it is. And I know you're doing shit over there. But yeah, he killed that guy. But now that I've learned the game a bit more, I understand how effective and how dangerous a Grip Hug deck is.
Yeah.
Perfect night last night. I think he had one turn. He was putting 1/1 counters onto all his creatures, so his counters got 1/1 buffs, everything for people to sacrificing, because he was giving people, I think, artifacts they could sack, and he would give him stuff. So his thing was, whenever the opponent sacrificed an artifact, put a 1/1 counter on all monkeys, I think it was. But his creatures were giving artifacts to everybody, so they're giving little treasure tokens and banana tokens to everybody for people to sack, so his stuff got really big. And then he had cards that, like, whenever you put a 1/1 counter on a creature, deal X damage to fucking any target. You see where this is going?
I see.
Either stuff like Doubling Season, which doubles the amount of tokens you make. Branching Evolution, so whenever you put a token on target creature, put another 1/1 token on creature. Or counter, sorry, 1/1 counter on creature. So his shit was getting really big and starting to do a lot of damage very quickly. Very, very dangerous. We just about managed to stop. I managed to stop him.
Yeah.
Because I have a dinosaur that, I was playing my dinosaur deck at the time. What it's called, Waking Sun's Avatar. So whenever you cast him from your hand, he's like mana value 7 or 8. He enters the battlefield, he destroys all non-dinosaur creatures. So that kills all his stuff, and pretty much everyone else's stuff as well. Unless they're indestructible, which if they're indestructible, they don't die. So, managed to stop him, and then someone killed all the stuff on the board. Because all my dinosaurs were still alive, because I killed everything but my dinosaurs. So someone killed everything then, And then the friend that the judge that showed me how to play Magic, he played a card called Patriarch's Bidding. He his
Okay.
deck, he was playing a blue-black deck, which is all about recursion. It's a zombie deck. I really want to build a deck like it, but I don't like copy people's decks. But I've gotten to the stage now where I'm like, it doesn't really matter if I have the same commander as someone, as long as I'm not building the identical same deck. But he was playing a zombie recursion deck, very fun looking deck. So he played Patriarch's Bidding, which the writing says in that return, I think it's return creatures. You choose a creature type and return any of the chosen creature types, but everybody can do this. So not just him. Everybody gets to return any of the creature types they want. So I took pick dinosaur, obviously, because I returned all my dinosaurs that were in my graveyard back onto my battlefield.
Yeah.
And then the man brought his monkeys back on the field. Who was playing on my left? Oh, he's playing enchantments. So he didn't get anything because it's not a creature. He's playing enchantments. And then my other friend Francis was playing. What was he playing? I can't remember what Francis was playing actually. Was it rats? He was playing rats, I think. I could be wrong about that. Oh
Okay.
no, he wasn't playing rats. He was playing Lord of the Rings Sauron deck, the
Okay.
pre-con. So he returned all creatures of the chosen type to the battlefield, which only effectively worked for three of us. There was five of us playing. Typically in a pod, there's four, but there's five of us playing because there's one person spare. So three of us got all our creatures back, and I
Okay.
was like, I copped it on myself. I'm like, why is he returning all creatures to the battlefield here? This is a wee bit too suspicious, because he didn't have a lot of creatures. It's not like his the graveyard was filled with zombies he could put back on the battlefield and like just absolutely wipe the board. He played it. I'm like, this is a little bit too suspicious because you don't have a lot of stuff in your graveyard that was zombies to place with. I had a lot of dinosaurs in my graveyard, which if you put a lot of dinosaurs back on the field from a graveyard, that is very suspicious. Because not that dinosaurs are fucking awfully dangerous, but they're big, they're stompy, and they will chew you. They'll
Yeah,
big bites.
fair.
But I was like, yeah, I'm not gonna let you live for another turn, because I was like. Because this was his turn, so he cast this spell in his turn. So I was after him in the rotations of the game. So I was like, I don't know what you're up to, but I ain't going to stop you. And I was just like, all my dinosaurs are now swinging at you. Because if you're going to recur your entire everybody's decks of the chosen creature type, it probably helped me the most out of anyone because I had the most creatures in my graveyard because everything got destroyed.
Yeah.
His zombies can recur constantly anyway, but they're mainly tokens, so they don't go into the graveyard. They just get removed from play.
Okay.
Because tokens don't enter. Tokens enter the graveyard, but they technically don't stay in the graveyard pretty much. Something. I don't recall the exact ruling or something out there. They die, but they don't go in the graveyard. Something along that there. Or they enter the graveyard, but they don't stay because it's a token. It's not an actual creature.
Right.
Pretty much tokens are pretty much just like certain cards will make a little copy or they'll make a little monster, like a little small thing to help you. Like,
Yeah.
see, I cast a big, massive fucking, I don't know, T-Rex, and then I'm like, or yeah, cast a big, massive T-Rex, and he went to the battlefield. I create a 2/2. Baby T-Rex token. All right, so that T-Rex
Yeah.
token probably will go to my graveyard, but doesn't like you don't put the actual card token into the graveyard. You pretty much just remove it from play because yeah, because you don't recur those tokens from the graveyard. Because I think that'll be a wee bit broken if you could do that. But no, it would definitely be very broken. Actually, no, that would be very broken.
Yeah, that'd be fucked.
But like I said, he was playing zombies, in which his deck has a lot of tokens. His commander, pretty much, anytime a zombie dies, he makes a zombie token. So, pretty much all his deck is if you kill my shit comes back. But it comes back as a token. But, so, Yeah, he played that card, and I'm like way too suspicious. So I killed him, obviously, which he was probably the biggest problem on the board. And then I think I swung at him with half my stuff, and then swung at the guy with the grip hug, because he was the second biggest problem. Because that deck got really big really quick. So I was like, that needs to die very quickly here, because if I don't do that, it's going to kill everyone again. Or
Yeah.
damn near to it. I think the only reason I lived, because one of my dinosaurs, it was a Temple Altosaur. Oh, Awakening Sun. No, Awakening Sun. That's what it is. Awakening Sun's avatar, I think it was called. Don't quote me on that. Whenever he or another dinosaur enters the battlefield, you gain X life, where X is the creature's toughness or dinosaur's toughness. So I was gaining life from all my dinosaurs' toughnesses, which a lot of my
Oh,
dinosaurs are very big, tough. So I was up like 100 health after that there, because everything came back onto the graveyard. And you can stack how your stuff enters your graveyard or enters your battlefield from the graveyard. Because
yeah.
I have another, I fucked everybody over a little bit, because I've got
Oh.
one creature. One dinosaur that when he's on the field, nobody can gain life.
That's pretty
So
sick,
I
and it's pretty
played
handy to have.
that's very handy to have. And also think about it, whenever someone plays a creature or when a creature enters the battlefield, it deals one damage to the opponent. So anyone that plays a token deck, that's gonna start killing you very quickly. But for me, who's playing big dinos, I'm not gonna play a lot of dinos on the turn, so I other than that, their moment where I put everything from my graveyard back onto the battlefield, but I picked and choose how stuff came back onto the battlefield. So of course the health dinosaur came onto the battlefield first, which lets me trigger get his health, and then I put everything else on because the rest of stuff doesn't really have ET, didn't have as many ETB abilities or end of the battlefield abilities. And then the last one I had was the Rampaging Ferocidon, the one that doesn't let anyone gain life. And then whenever a creature enters the battlefield, it deals one damage as well. So obviously, you don't want to fuck that up, because if I had done that vice versa, I wouldn't have got any life, and I would have taken one damage from all those dinosaurs. But you have to, as you learn the game, you'll learn these little mechanics and how you want to put stuff in order. But
Yeah.
yeah, I got up to like 90 or 100 health because off that there. And then everyone else couldn't gain life. So I was a problem real quick after that there. I'll put it like that there. So yeah, I swung at my friend, the judge. He died straight up. He only had like 14 or 13 health left. He started at 40, because he was taking a lot of damage beforehand because of my the rampaging Frost on the little dinosaur that stops people gaining life and deals one damage to them. He was doing a lot of stuff like pinning stuff under the graveyard and putting it back on the field. And so he was taking a lot of little pings of one here and there, as well as the fact
Yeah.
the guy with the grip hog was hitting him a lot as well. I mean, he's hitting everybody equally, but goddamn, a grip hog dice are pain. But killed the judge, because he was the biggest problem, obviously, because I don't trust the fact he put all my dinosaurs back in the field.
Yeah.
I
That's
don't know
fair.
what he had. I don't know what he had. I don't. I must ask him what did he had in his hand, because he obviously had something in plan. Like, that guy never doesn't have a plan. He always has a plan, especially in that deck. It's a fairly powerful deck. It's like a definitely higher power than my deck, but he's a judge and knows how to play the game. He can play a deck according to a power level. You know that kind of way?
Yeah.
He, like, I can play decks according to a power level. Like, I have decks based on what I'm playing against. So, like, if I'm playing against some of my friends, like them guys, the judge and whatnot, they have a higher level power deck. Same with Francis. Francis has some higher level power decks. I can play my elves against, or I can play my dinos against. Whereas some of the newer other guys in the shop don't have powerful decks. I can play my Lord of the Rings precon deck. Well, it's not really precon anymore. It's an upgraded pre-gun, still not a very powerful deck. Or I can play my dinos, or I can play my brand new deck I got yesterday. Well, I've
Yeah.
only given it one go. I've made a few changes already to it, which standard Magic shenanigans. You buy a brand new deck and change shit instantly. But I can play the same. Not that I can play the same. I can play the same, but I'd rather just play the deck that's according to their power level. But yeah, long story short, I killed everyone that game. I won. That was kind of disgusting of me because I wasn't expecting the win because I was like, oh, I'm dead. Because of the fact I kept getting killed by your boy with the Grip Hug deck. But my friend, the Jamie, the judge, he just like completely flipped the table. Which,
Yeah,
when
he
you play
knows
it,
what to do to
he knows how to fuck people over. Because,
the fucking joys.
oh my
Honestly.
god, I'm telling you. Yeah. But yeah, how's things with you?
They're all right. They're okay. I'm doing my studying. I'm doing my uni work. Hopefully finish my uni work tomorrow or the day after. But I've not been doing anything in like massively particular. I wanted to go out last night and have sing some
Karaoke.
karaoke,
Yeah.
get a nice drink, but there was no one available, so
Yes.
it didn't work out like that.
I'm telling you, man, what you need to do is find your local LGS and find out if someone plays Magic.
I don't have a local LJS. Well, that's Aberdeen. That's a whole city away, and
You gotta have a
I'm.
local store somewhere near you.
Nah, we don't.
I'm sure there's someone plays Magic near you. There can't be
Oh,
no one that doesn't play Magic near
there'll
you.
be someone that plays Magic, but it won't be on the store, and it'll be a group of friends that have known each other for a while.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. It generally doesn't matter. I've only known my friend the judge for about a year, and I'm constantly down at his house now.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I just.
You won't regret it.
I think I will.
I think you won't.
Everything that I've learned from you about it is that it's a nice big fucking money hole. And the one friend that I know that actually knows of magic and used to be part of it also agrees it's just a fucking big money hole. And I'm like,
I
yeah, I'm
mean,
good.
yes and no. Because you can buy a pre-constructed deck for like 50 euro, which is like £40, £46.
The way the conversion rate is going, probably
I
closer
think,
to
yeah,
like
because
60.
the shop I was in last night, they are actually in the UK. And they were selling decks at £35 and £40.
Right, hold on. Give me 2 seconds. Maps. There is a shop in town called Gamers and Geeks, which is probably the closest thing to it, but he
They'll have a
primarily
look of them.
sells video games. He doesn't actually sell cards.
I bet you if you went in, I know it doesn't matter if it's a card. You literally, you have a game near you, do you?
No, it's not a game. It's called Gamers and
You
Geeks.
have a game near
No.
you? Oh, I was like, cause game sells magic as well.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me too much, I'm not gonna lie.
Oh, and you can just order online. I order online all the time. I have a perfect website for you to order stuff off. Our
I'm
stuff
good.
off it all the time.
I just don't think I'm gonna get into it. Maybe if we were at like
Yet.
Comic Con and there was a table already set up with booths and cards for you to come trial and play with, maybe I could get into it there. That's
There
like the
actually wasn't any there
perfect.
for Comic-Con, which is weird. I thought
Yeah,
there would be.
I don't remember seeing any. But there also wasn't much like manga stuff or anything, was there? You
There
had
was a
like
little bit, but
like the
not a lot.
anime stuff,
Yeah.
but you didn't really have,
Manga.
yeah, per se.
Yeah, because our Comic-Con's smaller, but there's like an actual dedicated card game area
Oh, is there?
where people were playing Pokemon, Magic, Yu-Gi-Oh, that kind of stuff. But fucking the One Piece game and whatnot as well. They were playing a bit of that there. No, At this stage, I was still pretty new to Magic when I went to that Comic Con, so I was like, I brought my deck, and I was watching people playing their game. One, like, four people playing their game, and I was like, yeah, I'm not joining this fucking game. I was like, I have fucking no idea what's going on. I've been sitting watching this game for the last, like, 20 minutes, and I still have fucking zero clue what's happening at this table. Like,
Me.
there was so much shenanigans going on. I was like, I don't know what's happening here at all.
See,
But
yeah. But that's probably like the best area for me to try and get into it, because otherwise I'm just not gonna get into it.
I'll tell you right now,
There's
for
no way
me
I'm
personally,
investing just £50 into a game card game that I don't know that I'm gonna be into.
can get them for 30.
I'm still not willing to invest that little.
As I say, because say, tabletop. Like sitting at home or at a house or friend's house or something and playing Magic is just as good, if not better, than playing in Magic in a comic shop or something out there or local LGS.
I miss
I
the days of going around to a friend's house and playing like a couch co-op game or just like a
Yeah.
board game.
That's
There's
pretty much what we
something
do.
good about
That's
it.
pretty much what we're doing. Like me, Francis, usually going on friends, the judge's house, him and the partner, and like we sit down there like head down like 5 o'clock. I might stay there like last night. We didn't get home till about 2 o'clock from there. Like we came back from Derry, which was we left there about 10 o'clock. So we're back for about 11 after we got food, of course. We sat down there for like 3 or 4 hours afterwards and just sat there and talked about Magic and did a bit of trading and swapping cards and just having a bit of fun. Like we would usually sit down, play some Magic. Game of Magic 2. There's different formats we get into, blah blah blah. But we also play board games all the time down there. Like just as a break sometimes, we'll play 3 or 4 games of Magic, and then we're like, oh, let's take a wee break from Magic for a while and let's play a board game. We played there's a Haunting on the Hill, I think it was. What was that there Disney one? Oh, Francis has it. I can't remember what it's called.
Disney
It's like the
one.
final. It's not Final Fantasy. It's Kingdom
Oops.
Hearts. Is it a
Oh,
Kingdom
yeah,
Hearts
Kingdom
board
Hearts.
game? I can't remember what the game's called. There's a Kingdom Hearts board game. We played that, and we'll play other little games as well. Like there's just every so often we'll play a little board game, break up the fucking like, not break up the night, but a little change of pace. And sometimes, like, there's times I've come down to their house and I've sat there for like 3 or 4 hours. And we'll just sit there chatting and fucking talking about cards and shit, or playing stupid shit.
Yeah, I think
Like,
that's the best part of games like that.
yeah, that's like I love it. Like, now that I've started doing this, I could like looking back on the like most games, I just sit there playing Xbox. I'm like, that fucking shit sucks and boring as ass. Oh, like I can't do it now. Or like I can't play Xbox. Like before I could play the Xbox the entire weekend without a fucking thought because I had nothing else better to fucking do. Now I can't even think about twice sitting at the weekend all weekend and playing Xbox. Not that I need to be away, but like I can go out to like Letterkenny, and I can go play Magic. I can go play Warhammer. I can go play board games. That's so much better.
I think in the nicest way possible, you've discovered life.
I have discovered life.
There, you've discovered life, and you realize it's good, man. Life's good. Life is
I'm
fun.
not so much of an antisocial shit anymore. I went out before, but typically, which is like me and France or me and Rona or something, would just go out for like some food, like spend a few hours driving around. But
Yeah.
that's all right. It's fine.
What it is like. Yeah, it sounds like you've just discovered something that you enjoy more than sitting inside.
Yep. I mean, I don't mind sitting inside, but I do be like being outside a little bit more.
Yeah, I think that's how it goes. You just
There's just
eventually
jack
discover
shit to do
something
outside.
that you enjoy more.
Yeah.
Let's see, like right now, I'm on the side of I still like just reading by myself, but once a week I like to just get drunk and go and sing, and then
crazy,
and then I like a couple nights of just chilling, chatting over video games, which is what I do when we're recording the podcast now. I'm yeah. sitting playing Power World in the background, just chilling, listening to you talk about Magic, and trying to get my head around it. But
someday if I come back to Scotland again at some stage, I will bring my decks with me.
You're determined to try and break me and get me into it, but I don't
bring
know
one of my easier decks.
I mean,
like I said, it's hard to understand at the start. The more you play it, the better you get at it.
No, I get it. The more I listen to it, all I think of is Yu-Gi-Oh. That's all I think.
Yu-Gi-Oh
of.
Is so fucking shit. I don't like Yu-Gi-Oh. I tried Yu-Gi-Oh. Fuck Yu-Gi-Oh. Like, Yu-Gi-Oh is so complicated. There's so much bullshit going on in it. Oh, I hate it. Like, I tried it before Magic because we didn't know anyone playing Magic. And there were people near us playing Yu-Gi-Oh, and we're like, oh, we'll try it. We bought, me and Francis both bought a deck for it. We'd like, oh, we'll play this and have a bit of fun. We played, like, I think I've played 5 games of Yu-Gi-Oh with that deck I bought. After those 5, like, games, nothing changed. Where, like, Magic could, after 5 games, you know, you understand shit. Yu-Gi-Oh, I was sitting there, like, 5 games in, I'm like, I have fucking no idea what I'm still doing. There's so much shenanigans. I'm like, why? What is it? Why is that? What is doing? This is doing what? It's like, what? How? I don't know how anyone fucking played Yu-Gi-Oh in comparison to Magic.
I think Benji plays Yu-Gi-Oh. At the very least, he collects the cards. He has collected the cards.
Fair play to him if he understands how to play Yu-Gi-Oh, because that shit, I don't know how the fuck do that shit.
I don't
like
know.
Magic's a complicated enough board game or card game as you get on, but it got shit on Yu-Gi-Oh. It's like comparing Magic to Pokemon. Pokemon's very simple. Yu-Gi-Oh is not.
Yeah, I mean, fair enough.
Well, my friends now are playing Digimon. I think that's like the next big thing near us. They start going away from Yu-Gi-Oh, they all start playing Digimon.
They're all going for fucking Digimon, eh?
I haven't been interested. They're all trying to get me into it. I'm like, yeah, no, I'm good.
Oh,
I already buy enough Magic and Warhammer. I don't need another fucking addiction. Thanks.
Yeah.
See,
that's exactly.
I'm the kind of person where if I get into it, I'll get into it. Or if I don't touch it, I'll be fine. So I'm staying far away from that. And it's not overly expensive. It's actually very cheap. I just know for a fact, though, if I get into it, it will be stupid. And I will fucking spend, like, 400 or 500 euro on that dumb shit, and I will not regret it.
No.
Oh, yeah.
I don't see myself getting into it very easily. Just because it's not one of those things that like My Little Town has a big thing for. Like I reckon if I opened up a little shop for it myself, I could probably get it up and running, but I don't want to do that. That sounds like way too much effort for something that I don't know that I'd even like in the first place.
It would have to be a passion project. It doesn't have to be a passion project, but you would have to have a little bit of, like, know what you're doing, have a little bit of love for the game to actually get into it and know what you need to do, if you know what I mean?
Because
the local game shop near us has no idea what he's doing, and, like, the shop's kind of fucked.
Oh, dear. Yeah, no.
He's kind of fucked it for himself, though, more than anything.
Oh, that,
he just
that bad.
Doesn't know what he's doing. I'm not getting into it. I'm not getting into that shop. Like, we have to try a little more away to go to the other fucking shop. Like, I'd rather do it. I know their shop's like an hour extra, but it's like, in comparison to one shop to the other, it's night and day. It's night and day. One's a shop and one's, I don't know what you want to call it.
I really couldn't tell you.
The thing is, it's quite sad to see that shop, like, we've kind of come to accept the fact, like, in the next coming months, he's not going to be open because of the fact he's fucked it over himself that badly.
That bad, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Oof.
Like, it's bad.
Oof.
It
That
is real
is
bad.
rough.
But he's got no one to blame for it bar himself.
That's always the best ones, though. This is nothing but karma.
Yeah. But he just doesn't want. Like, we've been saying this in the shop, like, does he just not want to make money? Because, like, the stuff he's buying in is
Yeah.
stuff there's no one's buying.
Oh, God.
And the people that stuff that everybody wants, he doesn't have. Which I myself have taken upon myself to become the local, aka Donnie the dealer of Letterkenny, and I sell the cardboard crack now because he doesn't have the cards that nobody wants, or everybody wants. He only has the cards that nobody wants. So I sell the ones that he everybody wants. And I'm making like a few pound in each box. And everyone's happy. Everyone wants some packs and I'm selling packs.
Yeah,
And
sure.
it's like feeds my cardboard addiction too. It's a win-win situation. Everybody's getting everything.
You've become a dealer to deal with your own addiction, Matt.
Addiction. Yep, pretty much. Is this how the real dealers feel? Oh no.
100%, this is how the real dealers feel. This is how the real
God damn.
dealers feel. No, I think the closest thing I've gotten to an obsession right now is probably Pal World. I
Yeah,
was
you've been pretty hard
playing.
at Power. You've been hitting that pretty hard.
I've been hitting a prayer. I was hitting a different game hard, definitely not Fried Chicken, which is where
Ah, yes.
you're a drug dealer and you've got to expand your business through legal means, and it's quite a good
Miss
game.
Breaking Bad. You're Gus from Breaking Bad.
Yeah, you're essentially Breaking Bad, yeah. And I might record some gameplay of that to actually put out, because we keep on, I say we keep on, both Keelan and myself want to stretch out to YouTube and
Yeah.
get other stuff done. I think I'd like to do Apex with you. I'd like
Yeah,
to
I love to play some Apex.
do you know how they used to do the FIFA Rush to Premier One or whatever it was?
Diamond or something, yeah.
Yeah,
Or
just
yeah,
do
blown
that.
off in
Rush
Apex. Yeah.
to Apex.
Yeah,
Even though,
we probably go Diamond, I'd say. I mean, if
Diamond,
your
I think,
brother
is
joins, we could
acceptable.
probably hire.
Yeah, Jack's not playing with us. Let's Jack's not fucking world by himself.
Oh, you mean rolling by himself?
He's in a world by himself. He's not coming. He's
All oh,
just
right.
a
Oh, I thought you'd
world.
say roll. I thought you'd be roll by himself. I was like, what the fuck you mean you're rolling? I'm gonna help him. I could get the diamond easily myself. Between me and him together, we could
Oh no,
probably hire the diamond.
Jack doesn't. Jack and his friends are already. They like. Realistically, our goal would be rush to diamond. Maybe slightly after diamond. I can't remember what it is.
Yeah. Masters? Yeah, Masters, I think it is.
Is it Masters?
Yeah, I think so.
Nah, because Masters is Apex, right?
Yeah, I thought we were talking about Apex.
Yeah, no, but like. In the leveling system. Hold on. Let
Yeah,
me.
it's Masters. It's silver, copper, or copper, silver, gold, diamond, Masters, Apex.
Yeah, okay. Never mind. Jack and his friends are easily hitting Apex by themselves. Master by themselves at the very least. You could hit Apex yourself, I reckon. Maybe Master. By myself, I'd be pushing into the very end of diamond, and that'd be pushing, like hard pushing. I'm talking 3 to 6 games a night after work. It becomes less of a
A
fun thing
push,
and
more of
more
a,
a
yeah.
chore.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since I've done something like that. Although I want to get back into writing.
Oh yeah, your books.
Yeah, I want to get back into writing and I want to get into
I mean,
scripting more than anything else.
oh,
I
like
don't.
computer scripting?
No, like movie scripts.
Oh, okay.
Like movie scripting.
Yeah.
So to do that, my first goal is to start writing scripts and then producing them for podcasts.
Fair.
And getting voice actors in to do voice acting for it. But instead of like having a live camera on, whatever it would be, like the sound effects of an airport or an office or wherever it's meant to be, essentially.
Yeah, it's background noise.
Yeah. Because
I get you.
Batman Arkham. Sorry, not Batman Arkham. Can't remember what it's called. Batman.
Arkham Knight.
No, there's a Spotify podcast of it. And it had what's
Okay.
the what's his name's Wisdom, but I could be wrong. No, I'm pretty sure I'm wrong. He's an actor I really enjoyed. He plays the Batman in that, and I
Oh,
was
okay.
obsessed with it when
Fair.
season one released. I thought it was so smart, so good. It was well thought out, well planned, and well released. But there's not been. They released a Joker one as well, but I didn't listen to that one. But I think it's the next form of enjoying something without having video necessarily.
It's more like an it's like an audio biography kind of thing, I
Well,
assume.
they actually back in the 40s and 50s, they had radio shows and it would be like that. They'd have like a big one was War of the Worlds. They produced a big War of the Worlds one. Where they had
Yes.
like voice actors do lines, they had the sounds of like planes going overhead, aliens shooting, shit like that. The
So
big
just an
thing.
audiobook, pretty
Yeah,
much.
like a very dedicated audiobook essentially.
Yeah.
But that's how I think I'm gonna get onto it first. And I'm gonna push through on that.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Because that seems like the easiest way to get into it. And it also expands our podcast in general because like the Beside the Point podcast is very generic. Sorry. We're
Those
very
guys are generic as shit.
we just talk shit. This is literally this is normally just a way
Shit
for us to get back in touch with each other,
Unwind. Yeah.
talk shit, and we'll see where how it goes. There's not an ever an end goal with our podcast on here.
No, it's just
We're
like make it go along. It's
yeah,
fine.
we want to enjoy it, and we want people who listen to enjoy it as well.
Little laugh along the way.
Exactly. Because I don't know where we'd get with this normally other than that. Let's be realistic here. There's not like an end goal that works per se, I'd say. That we would fit with on that. Because I don't know how close we are ending up to the Joe Rogan podcast. I feel like his pod the style and the formatting of podcasting is very interesting. Like the podcasts that I enjoy are like this, they're just general chit chat podcasts. The ANMA podcast, Rooster Teeth podcast, Fuckface podcast, even though I haven't listened to that one in a while. I think that's the general kind of way we go with Beside the Point. But going into the ones that I want to come up
A
with,
talk show idea
yeah, they're a lot
concept.
more talk showy and like general chill. Whereas going forward, I'd want to have a story that I'm pushing for and how there's a goal for it and everything. Whereas this doesn't currently have that. This podcast is very much a, well, let's just see what happens. And right now, our episode back, we've had three listeners too, but we've made, I don't know if anybody would be interested in the impressions that we make on Spotify or that, but I've got the numbers up here. the most recent impressions we've had. We've had 545 impressions. That means we've had our podcast come up on 545 people's different Spotify in some way or some other. Only three of them clicked on us.
Three of them listened.
Only three of them listened to. And one of them was our most dedicated viewer that no one knows the name of, and we will never know the name of, I don't think. But they're our solid 1%ers right there. That you can't beat them. So it's just kind of going through, I think, and enjoying it.
Secretly, it's being your mother this entire time, Ryan.
My mother wouldn't support me that much.
Just throw her under the bus like that.
No, my mum loves me, but she's not that kind of sport.
The way you said it, my mother wouldn't support me that much. Just throw her straight on the bus.
She supports me in the fact that she just goes, "Good for you, kids." That's it.
I love the fact there was no thought whatsoever put into it, just straight gas. Yep, no. You didn't even have to think about it. God damn.
Welcome to my family, man. Welcome to my family.
Oh, shit.
You know, she cares in her own way, but, like...
Yeah.
I know for sure that I don't think she's listening to Benji's music. I at least stream that once or twice a month. You know, right. If you want a song to go listen to, go listen to Angie on Spotify. That's ENJI. That's my brother. He's actually got some good songs. I quite enjoy some of the songs. Good.
I'm not a big rap person, but I listen to it.
Oh, see, that's the difference. I'm a big rapper. Maybe that's why I can just accept it. I don't overly listen to it myself. But I'm like, it's still good enough. Still good enough. Still represents family.
It's just about good enough.
Look, I got high goals for this family. currently, we don't meet my standards. We're not meeting my standards. Families? Fuck those, man. I'll be honest, fuck those. I just wouldn't say my family meet my standards. That's what I would say. Wow, we've just shat my family for the last 5 minutes now, huh?
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, mainly me, but I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. My family knows how we are. And I doubt any of them would actually reject any of the notions I've just put forward. I've just explained how Jack won't fucking look at my own messages, so, you know. Yeah. I make nothing but good points. Nothing but solid, reasonable, actionable points. But yeah, going forward, maybe that's what I should do today, is just record a draft version, then write it out in a book, and then type it up and edit it. Because I've been listening to a lot of other writers recently on how they plan their books and their writing and their scripts.
Yeah.
So I think that sounds like a plan for me after this, even though I've got uni work to do. I've got a presentation to come up with. I don't know if I can actually say. I remember reading something about how you're not meant to say what your project is. But I've got to come up with...
Yeah, probably shouldn't mention it.
I've got a PowerPoint
do it.
I've got to do about something.
Good.
So I've got to focus on that, because that's due in on Tuesday. It's not that hard, though. It's just a presentation. Right, well, I don't understand about it. I know I'm going on a little tie rant before I end this podcast at an hour. But what I don't understand is they want an 8 to 15 slide PowerPoint, but they don't want us to do... like a commentary or that. They're purely gonna observe us from the slides. And in my head, I'm like, how do you know that this 8 to 14 slides is gonna be 15 minutes? It's purely gonna be coming on like our words of it. But I've read and reread the assignment, and it specifically says you're not allowed to write what you plan to say or how you plan to discuss your PowerPoint as it comes up. It is literally the bullet points of how you are going to make this plan. And I don't know about you, if you've watched like any TED Talks or that, when they're doing presentations.
I was told to watch them a while back for like college and whatnot, but I never did.
I love a good TED Talk, but basically they just talk. They maybe have a presentation and it's a few slides and it's just some information to physically show you the information. But it's not much. A lot of presenting comes from
freeballing it.
Yeah, well, having an action
not to freeballing it's
head.
Action and plan in the end, adapting to the plan.
Yeah,
things go wrong.
Being able to discuss and being able to openly converse about whatever project you are meant to be talking about. So I'm just kind of like, I'm not too sure on how I'm meant to go forward with it, you know. I will make it. I'll send an email to my tutor, but even then, I think it's too late for her to really reply and go, "Yeah, we've done that, so X, Y, and Z." Which is my own fault. I really should have. Like, I knew I had to do a presentation about a month ago, so I should have emailed her then. I just never did. That's just on me. But not knowing when we release this podcast, because this is definitely just a filler podcast for us. It's not on the highball of what we really are gonna put out each week, every 2 weeks.
It's the highest octane quality you'll ever see. Let's be honest.
Yeah, this is.
This will not be surpassed.
Yeah, this was top tier. You can't surpass how what we have done in the last hour compared to our other work.
I mean, this was amazing.
I mean, honestly, I think it beats the one that we let me and Alex just chat about work for an hour. Hour and a half, I think it was. That came to a 2 hour podcast purely because I wanted us to have something different to talk about. Yeah. But we kept on getting lost and just bitching about work and pointing out very obvious shit about work that can make it easier. That's not gotten any easier, by the way. Since that podcast, I keep on seeing things coming up on my like Instagram reels or TikTok or whatever it is, YouTube shorts, about toxic work environments. And I'm like, fuck off, I know what a toxic work environment is. Fuck you. Stop trying to like push it onto me right now. Anyways, I don't really have a standing note to go on. Pardon me there. That was a yawn. I think I'm going to take a break after this and I'll do some reading, chilling, while I charge my phone because it's on like 20%.
Yeah,
and your plan is, you're doing Magic Lair, aren't you?
I'm going to go play Magic.
Yep. I feel like the title of this episode will be Magic versus Yu-Gi-Oh.
I mean, it's not a competition.
I know.
No. I think this episode is Narayan throws his mother under the bus.
Nah. On the off chance that she does look at my podcasts.
Oh, no. This is a better one. Narayan's high family standards.
I wouldn't even call it high family standards.
The family's not reading the standards.
I don't think that's
Quality families is dropping. Quality families is dropping.
Well, I don't know when this episode
gets you a lot of trouble.
I don't know when this episode is going to release, but at the very least,
if you don't hear from Alex Narayan again, his mother. 6 feet under.
Yeah, she was straight up murdering me.
Well, that's
not a question. That is, she would murder me.
That's the fact.
That's factual. There's evidence she would murder me. But anyways, if you miss us, you can just go back to Spotify, listen to us again. Hopefully by the time this comes up, because this is an emergency, like no one is available for recording. We're throwing it out into the mix. But hopefully by the time this comes around, we will have updated our logo. Because I have... Well, I've talked to Keelan Brandon. I've talked to you about it, haven't I? The idea that I've got.
What's this?
For the podcast logo.
Oh, no, you haven't talked to me about that.
All right. Oh, well, I'll talk to you for 5 minutes after the end of the podcast about it. But...
Yep.
Yeah, basically, hopefully by the time this comes out, I want this to be like an emergency in 7 months. I want us to have been really good with our recording and our keeping stable.
No, Ryan only has 8 months to live.
Well, you never know, actually. You never fucking know.
That 6 months to live. Yeah, well, that's a good point. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, if you like this podcast and... you think it's worthwhile listening to us, you should definitely tell your friends about it. Like, just bring up these four idiots, currently down to two, chatting shit about magic.
It's happening again. It's only the two of us again, Ryan.
Mate, it did. In fairness, it only took them, 2 weeks?
Took us 2 weeks, and we're back again. Boy, we're back down to two.
I'll give it to Alex, though. He gave, like, I'm Keelan as far as it goes, because I think when I posted about recording today, he would have been midnight his time.
Yeah.
So I'll give it to both of them that they were both upfront about short not notice. Being available.
Yeah, it was a bit slightly short notice as well. I came home last night, I'm like, oh shit, podcast tomorrow, cool, yeah.
Yeah, that's how I do all my plans. All my plans are last minute. Like, I'm the worst for it.
Hey, if it works, it works.
Well, it's got a percentage of working of 80% working, 20% not.
Yeah.
And that's more because I just bumble for it the rest by myself. I just go for it. I could give two shits. But, on that note, we'll end the podcast and... Well, we'll see you in 2 weeks from this podcast because we're still doing fortnightly at this time. But if you have any friends that you wanna talk shit about us with, that's perfectly fine. Just get them to listen to the podcast wherever you are in the world. I have a full statistic page of where people have listened to us.
I will find you.
We will hunt you down from our impressions, and we will figure out where you are all from. But
other 540 other people that didn't listen to the podcast, fuck you guys.
not true fans. Not true fans.
Nah, I know.
You'd
click on us and like listen, and you'd be mesmerized. Like,
honestly, I love fucking statistics and numbers and shit, and I want to reach out to other podcast creators just to look at theirs, because it's such an interesting thing.
I must say, that's like the most Asian shit you've ever said. I love numbers and statistics.
I do, there's something so...
The Asians coming hard out in you right now.
There's a Reddit, Reddit forum or group. I think it's called Statistic Porn. And it's these people who've like released the statistics in graphs. And some of them are like edited videos and it shows you the smooth progression of everything. And I'm like, this is hot. This is fire. Inner Asian really comes out at that point.
Yeah, this is probably the most Asian thing I've ever heard from your fucking mouth. I watched mathematical porn.
Mate, it's just good. It's satisfying, you know?
Fuck's sake.
It's all in the numbers. The numbers... The numbers are
based on numbers, Mason. The numbers, Mason.
It's all the fucking numbers. The numbers will lead you to the truth. Conspiracy theories. It's all true. 9/11, Flat Earth, Pikachu's being real. It's all fucking true. I'm telling you. You look at the numbers. It's all the numbers. And on that lovely note, we'll see you in 2 weeks. And, you know, whenever this comes out. Ciao, ciao.
Bye.
Bye.